morning, church. Yeah, okay, I was waiting for it there. Good morning. My name's Jeremy Vaccaro, and it's my privilege to be a pastor here, and my privilege today to bring us the word from Luke chapter 8. I encourage you to grab a Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 8. And as you do that, let me just say this. Listening is a critical thing in our lives, isn't it? Did you hear me? Yeah. Listening is a critical thing in our lives. Just think about how many people have been fired from their jobs because they didn't listen well to instructions. Just think about how many students have failed a class because they weren't really hearing the teacher. Just think about how many marriages have suffered or even dissolved because husband and wife couldn't really listen to one another. Think about how many times there are relational breaks within a family because people couldn't really listen to one another. And even more, just think about how many lives have been lost because the lack of listening between two people or between two tribes or between two states led to violence. Listening, church, listening and truly hearing is a crucial thing in our lives. But listening is not only crucial for our relationships with one another, our human relationships. Listening is also truly hearing is absolutely critical in our relationship with God. So we're in the midst of a sermon series. It's been lasting most of the spring and summer called The Heart of Worship. And in this sermon series, we're looking to the scriptures to teach us what a true and faithful heart of worship looks like, and we're longing for that to become more of who we are as a congregation. But if we are not authentically hearing what God's word is to us, the blessing of his word will be lost on us. All these sermons about having the heart of worship, if we're not truly hearing, they'll be lost on us. And a heart of worship comes from a heart that truly hears. And that's why our passage today in Luke chapter 8 is so critically important to us, to grow in us a true and faithful heart of worship. Church, we must become, by God's grace, authentic hearers of God's word. Look with me at Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Hear now God's holy and awesome word. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Now, here we go. Here's where I meant to start. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. And he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." That's a quote from Isaiah. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it under a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come to it who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Now, Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told them, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, in this passage, we have kind of three sections, right? We have the parable of the sower and its explanation. We have the paragraph about how everything gets disclosed. And then we have this final section about Jesus's mom and brother. And at first glance, it may kind of seem like they're kind of separate or disparate sections. But the theme that holds it all together is hearing. Did you hear that? Hearing. Look at verse 8. After telling the parable, Jesus says, "He who has ears, let him hear." Then in verse 10, quoting from Isaiah, Jesus says, "Though seeing, they may not see. Though hearing, they may not understand." Then his explanation of the parable is all about hearing. And in verse 18, he says, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen." And finally, he uses the arrival of his mother and his brothers as a learning opportunity to talk about being authentic hearers. And so this section of scripture is all about authentic hearing. And so it asks us the question, how do we be a church who practices authentic hearing? And of course, getting the answer to that question is critically and overwhelmingly important. If we can't be a church that learns how to practice hearing authentically, then according to this passage, we'll either perpetually be in a state of immaturity, or we will have fall away, or worse, we will just disappear. And so for the sake of God, what God wants to do in us, we must learn, church, how to be authentic hearers. And that's what this passage in this section teaches. So he starts with this familiar parable. Many of you know this parable already. It's the parable of the soil, the sower and the four soils, told in the midst of a large crowd that had gathered from around him to hear. He said that there was a farmer who went out to sow seed, and then he describes four different kinds of landing places with three different results. What's the first landing place? Verse 5. The path, along the path, a place where the seed couldn't get into the ground. And so what is the result of that first landing place? It says that there was no growth. The birds came and ate it up, right? Okay, the second landing place in verse 6 was rock, it says. And that probably doesn't mean it just fell on literally on a rock, but part of the soil that only had a thin layer of dirt that covered that thick limestone underneath. And what was the result of the sowing the seed on the rock? It says that there was some growth, but not lasting growth. There was some growth, but no fruit. It dried up, it said, because there was no sustenance there, right? All right, the third landing place, according to verse 7, was among thorns, like my front yard. And the result there was essentially the same as the seed that was sown on the rock, right? It says that the thorns grew up with it and choked the plant. So, again, there was some growth of the plant, of the seed, but there was not lasting growth, some growth with no fruit. But then finally, the fourth landing place, it says that it fell on what? Good soil. And this is where I wish it would have been translated that it fell into good soil to help us get a better picture of kind of what that implies, that idea of the seed going into that result that was so different from others is produced from it. Look again at verse 8. It came up. Look at the result. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. Is that good? Yeah, really good. And so the seed that found its way into good soil grew and had lasting growth. It grew and became fruit bearing. It was a watermelon seed that grew watermelons. And so Jesus tells the story But the hint to the crowds that it's something more than just an obvious explanation of agriculture is found in the last words in verse 8. Jesus says in verse 8, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Whenever Jesus says that, a phrase like that is a sign that what he was saying was important. But it also means something more than just recognizing the words that he has used and being able even to repeat them. The kind of hearing that Jesus is talking about here is authentic hearing. It's a deeper hearing. And so the disciples ask him what the parable meant. And notice that there's no change of context. The crowd is still there around, it seems, that Jesus is still surrounded by the crowds. And he answers the disciples in front of the crowds. And he starts with this in verse 10. He says, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that," and he quotes from Isaiah here, "though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." That's a tricky little passage. It might be easy for us to get hung up on the word "so that" and make us think that Jesus is intentionally trying to be, so to speak, at this point, secretive or something. But I think Jesus is essentially giving his executive summary of the parable. I think he's saying that when he uses parables, some truly hear it. They will gain insight from them. And those some in this particular place are those who are asking questions and seeking the deeper meaning, recognizing that there is something more to go to learn there. They are the ones who will hear the truth in it and they will understand that deeper meaning. But others will simply hear a story. And that Isaiah passage is the scripture that kind of backs that up. Some are going to hear but not understand. Some are going to see but not really see. But then he goes on to explain the parable in more detail. And remember, he's still talking to the whole crowd. And this is where we begin to learn what it really means to authentically hear. He says, the seed is the word of God. And essentially here that the word of God is what Jesus is teaching and what Jesus is living out, right? Because Jesus indeed is the living word of God. And when you listen to the way that Jesus describes the four groups, you'll notice that every group hears, but only the last group authentically hears in the way that Jesus calls us to hear in verse 8. So the first group hears, right? The first group hears, but Jesus says it falls on hard hearts. And so the devil comes and takes it away. They don't believe and they aren't saved. The second group, though, is interesting. The second group hears and receives it. So this is a person who comes to faith in Jesus. But then when trials come, they fall away. When hard times come, they fall back. The third group hears and receives it. But their new life gets choked out by the stuff of life, by the other things that are distracting us. But then look at verse 15. It's the description of the kind of hearing that Jesus is calling us to, authentic hearing. It says, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering do what? Produce a crop. So authentic hearing has four elements: hearing, really hearing the deeper meaning, retaining, persevering in it, and then multiplying it. In other words, it's faith that leads to fruitfulness. And so here's the main point. Authentic hearing is faith that leads to fruitfulness. Now, it might seem like Jesus is done talking about it because the next verse he goes on and starts talking about lighting a lamp and letting it shine for others to see. But don't let that throw you. He's still talking about authentically hearing. According to verse 16, authentically hearing doesn't mean that we take that insight or take that revelation or take that truth or take that seed and just keep it inside, covered up where no one can see the difference that it has made in us. No, authentically hearing means living out what we have heard. And according to verse 17, the way that we have heard, whether authentically or not, will be made manifest. Jesus says there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed. And then he goes on with the punchline in verse 18. This is the application. He says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. So whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, he thinks he's got it. But that'll be taken away because he doesn't really got it. Jesus says to consider carefully how you listen. So, beloved, when you come to our worship gathering, are you considering carefully how you listen? When you open up the Bible in your daily life, when you listen to that better preacher on Right Now Media, when you're sitting with your small group, when you have the radio station tuned to K-Love, when you are participating in community group, are you considering carefully how you listen? Because just hearing and not doing, not bearing fruit, not multiplying, always falls short of the kind of authentic hearing that Jesus calls us to do. And the point is finally brought home in this last little section. Mary and Jesus' brothers come to see him. Maybe they've been there listening this whole time, but the crowd is too thick for them to get close. And so finally someone sends a message up into Jesus. Pardon me, Jesus, your mom and little brothers are here. They want to see you. And Jesus brings the point of this whole section home. Not in a way, by the way, that is mean toward his biological family or discredits them in any way. That's not at all what's happening here. But in a way that he uses their arrival as a learning opportunity. He says that his family, quote, are those who hear God's word and do what? Put it into practice. In other words, kinship with Jesus, closeness with Jesus, family ties with Jesus is less about genetics than it is more, but it's more than it is about hearing and doing the word of God. So once again, the theme of the whole text, authentic hearing is faith that leads to fruitfulness. Beloved, what kind of hearer are you? What kind of soil does your life represent today? Francis Chan talks about this passage and he says to many of us, don't assume that you are the good soil. What kind of hearers are we together as a church? Have our hearts hardened to what God wants to do in us? Or are we the kind that receive the message even with enthusiasm, but then like kind of let it shrivel up when the hard times come? Or are we the kind that receive the message, but then let it get choked out by the competing idols in our life so that we never grow into maturity? The scripture calls us to be authentic hearers who, as the message says, seize the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there is a harvest. A couple weeks ago, we had a great shared worship service with Hope Now Bible Church and Bethany Inner City Church. And on the Tuesday night after that, our session was meeting and just kind of celebrating. That's our leadership board, celebrating what God had done among us in that service, not just in the worship service, but also as we went out from this place and walked in our neighborhood here. And as a session, we were recognizing that was a glimpse of what it might be for us to be a church that more accurately reflected the ethnic and socioeconomic reality of our city. And that was a vision that we said, yes, we want to be more like that. Also, well, and let me just say about that, you know, heaven will be full of people from every tribe under the sun. And so if heaven is a place where we want to spend our eternity, we might do well to start getting used to it now. We've been praying for a while that God would send people from our church into this brand new neighborhood that he has just raised up from nothing within A few hundred yards around us, there are hundreds of new residences. We've been praying that every person of our church would be captured by the gospel anew and afresh in a way that overflowed so that every one of us could identify, here's where I'm participating in God's redeeming transformation in my neighborhood, in my city, in my world, in my workplace. How does that happen? How does that change happen among us? Well, I believe it happens only when we are a church that more and more is full of individuals who are very intentionally helping one another be authentic hearers of the Word of God. That we would be good soil that hears and receives the Word and perseveres in obedience to it, so that God will multiply it through us. Authentic hearing is faith that leads to fruitfulness. So what is holding you back from being an authentic hearer today? The good news is that even if you haven't been acting like an authentic hearer lately, or even if you've never been an authentic hearer of the gospel, because of Christ's grace and because of His forgiveness, we can start afresh today through repentance and faith. Repentance in this case means realizing that we haven't been good soil, realizing that our hearts have kind of hardened or allowed the stuff of life, the trials or the idols to get in the way, and asking God to forgive us through the cross of Christ and confessing our desires to be good soil, to be authentic hearers of the Word, asking God to soften our heart. And then faith then means trusting in Jesus and submitting to His Word and joining Him in His mission to the world. There's a lot more that could be said, but I'll just end with this. Beloved, may we be authentic hearers. May we be a church of authentic hearers so that God will multiply faith through us. Let's pray. Lord, we want to receive what You speak to us today, and we don't want to allow this familiar parable to just kind of float on by. We don't want to assume that we are the good soil. But Lord, please help us to be good soil today. Help us to truly hear. Because Your Word says that the way we hear will be revealed at some point. It will be disclosed in our lives. So God, help us today to be people who hear the Word and do the Word. People who hold on to it, receive it, and hold it, and persevere in it by Your grace until the harvest comes. Multiply Your love in us. Multiply the seed of truth that You have given us, that it wouldn't be just something that we keep, but God, that we would grow into maturity and be like a watermelon seed that grows watermelon and feeds many with something sweet. Oh God, plant Your Word in us, that we would be a sweet fragrance to the world, and that You would multiply that seed of faith through us, we pray, that Your kingdom would come and Your will be done. And everyone who agreed said, amen. Would you stand as we respond in song together? I just love the words of that song. May that be the prayer of our hearts. Because when we are good hearers, authentic hearers, that is what happens. God's kingdom comes. And His justice and His mercy flow in our streets and in our homes and in our workplaces. So may we be good hearers of the gospel today. Hey, Chris and Molly talked to you a little bit about CCO.